As we mentioned just a short time ago, normally Thursday night is Mussar night. This week it happens to be that the Parsha Shir is going to be mashed in with a little bit of Mussar. So it'll be a little bit different, perhaps a little bit of a different nature of intensity. So I apologize ahead of time. But what I wanted to discuss with you tonight, what I wanted to learn with you tonight, is based upon a number of shmuzin from Rav Tzvi Meir Zilberberg. We, of course, learned his sefer about Tikkun HaMidos between Pesach and Shavuos during the Sfiras period of Sfiras HaOmer. But we know that there are many svarim that have a lot of his shmuzin. And in a couple of shmuzin on Parsha Shlach, he points out that the 40 days after Shavuos is a time of great nisayon for the Jewish people. Why is that? Because we know on Shavuos there's such an incredible, incredible opening up of the Arubos HaShamayim. As we discussed, Shavuos is really when all of the Jewish people are elevated and we're coronated, recognizing who we really are as B'nai Melachim, as B'nos Melachim, as being princesses and princes. And so therefore, there's a tremendous, tremendous test for each and every one of us, he says, specifically the 40 days after Shavuos, specifically this time. And he said, of course, we know that after the very first Shavuos, what was 40 days after the very first Shavuos? That was, of course, the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf, and the breaking of the Luchos. And we know, Alpi Kabbalah, of course, that the breaking of the Luchos was not just the loss of the Luchos Rishonos. It wasn't just the loss of the first tablets. It was a really cosmic shift in how we were able to learn Torah and how we were able to take in Torah. And it was something that was a tremendous, tremendous tragedy. And that happened 40 days after the first Shavuos. But then you know what happened the next year after Shavuos? Meaning the first year that we had a Shavuos anniversary that we were in the desert? So a couple of weeks after Shavuos, about 3 weeks after Shavuos, a group of Jews went on a trip. They were known as the Meraglim. It was on Chaf Tes Sivan that the Meraglim left the encampment of the Jewish people in the desert, and they went on a mission into Eretz Yisrael. And we know that in some ways, this challenge was, and the disaster, the tragedy of the Chet HaMeraglim was in fact worse than the sin of the Egel Azov, because we know the Egel Azov ultimately Klal Yisrael was forgiven for. The Jewish people were given Slicha, Mechila, and Kapara, culminating in, of course, Yom Kippur. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave the Jewish people from the sin of the golden calf. And that's when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Lucho Shnios, the second tablets. But from the Chet HaMeraglim, there was really no forgiveness. The people that were considered responsible for the Chet HaMeraglim, they were wiped out entirely. An entire generation was lost in a desert, right? All of the men that were over the age of 20 at the time of the Chet HaMeraglim, they were gone. They were dead and buried. Two men over the age of 20 made it into Eretz Yisrael, Yehoshua ben Nun and Kalev ben Yefuneh. That was it. Everyone else was lost in the desert. Many say Pinchas also, okay. What exactly, why exactly Pinchas might be different, we're not going to get into now. But what we know is that the Chet HaMeraglim also started within the 40 days after Shavuos. And Reb Tzvi Meir says that it's during this tekufa, it's this time of 40 days, that we have to be increasingly, increasingly aware of the challenges. We have to try and be very cognizant of very strong nisyonos that come and try and rip us down from the elevated heights that we achieved on a Shavuos, from the great light that was revealed to us and inside each and every one of us during Shavuos. It's very often the parsha right after Shavuos is Naso, when there are tremendous blessings, the blessings of Birchas Kohanim. And we know that Leah Shabbos, Parshas Baaloscha, we said, is a parsha that Tzadikim say is filled with the Ar HaGanuz, with the hidden light and the mitzvah of the menorah. And of course, in the midst of Parshas Baaloscha is, of course, Vayehi ben Tsoa HaAron. What the Gemara and Shabbos says is its own Torah. There's another book of the Torah. Another book of the Torah is the two psukim that are cordoned off by the inverted nuns that we in past years we've discussed. So that also is about the secret of Jewish history, giving chizuk for the Jewish people. And then the third parsha that we come to in most years after Shavuos is this week's parsha, Parsha Shlach. And in Parsha Shlach, tzaddikim say, Parsha Shlach is one of the key parshios for us getting through nisyonos in life. Parsha Shlach. This week, tzaddikim would say you have to learn Parsha Shlach and you have to connect to the messages of Parsha Shlach because there's a very, very important message for each and every one of us. And what is that? What is the lekach? What do we have to walk away with from Parsha Shlach? How could we be mechazik in our avodas Hashem, strengthen ourselves in our divine service during Parsha Shlach? So what it comes down to is, we know the basic story, of course, in the beginning of Shlach, the story of the spies. And it's the major question everyone talks about, what went wrong? These weren't people of low moral character. These weren't people of low intelligence. These were nesiim. These were anashim chashuvim. These were great, elevated individuals. We know, of course, the Klei Yakar who says that the problem was they weren't women. Women, the Klei Yakar said, had a greater chibas haaretz, a greater love for the land, and they would have brought us in right away. People think that Klei Yakar was made up by people in the 1960s. This was written centuries ago. Mamish, it's in the Klei Yakar. Look in the Klei Yakar. He says, if Moshe would have sent women, we would have been in Eretz Yisrael. It wouldn't have been a problem. You want a hard job done? Get a woman. She'll take care of it, right? But what we know is, unfortunately, it was a great disaster. And the Meraglim came back, and they give negative reports. They badmouth Eretz Yisrael. They cause doubts in people's minds about God's power, about God's ability to bring them into the land. And it's a total, total breakdown. It's mamish a breakdown in so many ways. But what tzaddikim say is one of the most important lessons from Parsha Shlach is a very simple thing, that we have to remember what the main mistake was of the Meraglim. The Meraglim were shluchim. They were messengers. They were agents on behalf of the Jewish people. And the Meraglim forgot that what their role really was. They were supposed to go in the land as the messengers, as the agents of the Jewish people, to go in and to just give, they weren't supposed to go bring military reports. They were supposed to get the people excited about the land and come back, right? To say how awesome it was. And they forgot their shlichus. They forgot what they were doing. And Reb Zvi Meir Zilberberg, he says so powerfully, he says, we're all shluchei d'rachmana. He says, when we read Parsha Shlach, what we're supposed to remind ourselves is that every one of us have been brought into this world on a mission. We're all shluchei d'rachmana. We are all the messengers and the agents of the Ribono Shel Olam. And he says, and this is, he brings down many, many tzaddikim, that what the Yetzer Hara tries to do, what the Koach HaTumah try to do, is they try to convince us of one of two things. One of two things. There are two ways that the Koach HaTumah, that the Yetzer Hara tries to throw us off. The first is, of course, very simple. They just try to get us to forget that we're only messengers here. They forget. Try to get us to forget that we have a mission here in this world. You know, it's a famous, famous mashal of the Chafetz Chaim, maybe one of the most famous mashalim of the Chafetz Chaim, about the pauper from Poland who mamish has nothing. He mamish is mamish gurnished mit gurnished, and he decides, he heard of this island, Bekrache Hayam, an island on the other end of the world, maybe like Australia, where further, where there are diamonds all over. There are diamonds all over the place. Mamish, you just walk around picking up diamonds, massive, massive diamonds. And he figures, this poor man figures, if I could just get there, I'll go get diamonds, I'll come back, I'll be an Asher Gadol, I'll be incredibly wealthy. And so what happens is, this poor man, he manages to scrimp and save and get on a boat, and he heads to the island, but he's told that, listen, there aren't boats that go to this island very often. And so he makes his way to this island. It's a trip that took him almost a year. And when he gets to the island, mamish, he gets off. There are diamonds everywhere, walking around, picking up diamonds, putting them in his pocket. This is amazing. And he decides, you know, picking up diamonds, stuffing his pockets, he gets a little hungry, and he goes into the store. There's a store there, and he says, you know, I need a drink. And they say, okay. They give him a drink, and he takes out a big diamond, and he puts it down. And the person, store owner, says, what are you doing? He goes, what do you mean? I'm paying for my drink with this diamond. He says, a diamond? It's a rock. We have lots of rocks like that. That's worthless. He goes, so how am I paying you? He goes, what do you mean? You don't know what our currency is? He goes, no, what's your currency? He says, schmaltz. He says, schmaltz? He says, chicken fat. That's the currency. And the guy goes, schmaltz. You know, schmaltz I had in Poland. I pay you with schmaltz. He goes, that's what you no drink. He goes, listen, I'm dying here. Just give me a drink. I'll get you schmaltz. And this guy has to go, and he has to go get a job to make money, to be a schlepper, to make some schmaltz, to pay for his food. And finally, after a year, after he makes it there a year, and finally a year, the captain of the ship that brought him says, buddy, listen, I'm going back to Poland. Do you want on the boat? And he's like, oh my gosh, you're right, Poland. I totally forgot. He goes, no, I have to get diamonds. I says, no, we have to go now. You don't have time to go diamonds. The ship is leaving right now. So the captain says, look, I don't know when any boats come back. You ever want to see your family? So the captain pulls the guy. He gets on the boat, and he's on the boat crying because he went there to load up his suitcases with diamonds, but he spent his whole time there working to make schmaltz. And when he gets home, his family says, oh, where's all the diamonds? He goes, diamonds? Oh, yeah, I had so much schmaltz. Like, you had so much schmaltz. Who cares about schmaltz? Who cares about chicken fat? Are there no diamonds? He goes, well, from the first day, my first jacket, oh, I have a few diamonds here. And the Chafetz Chaim says, we all came in this world to pick up diamonds. We came in this world to pick up diamonds. Those are the mitzvos. Those are the things that bring us close to Hashem. Those are the things that will bring us the Tanuk HaAmiti, as the Mesillas Sharm says in the first parak, will bring us the true joy. But what happens is, mitzvos in this world are not really such a great currency. Right? I told you that story about the little boy that tried to pay for the chocolate bar in Yerushalayim by teaching the store owner a Mishnah. And the guy shoot him out of the store and says, bring me 5 shekel, kid, and then you'll have your candy bar. Then you'll have your kifkef. You know, then you'll have your agozi. You know, you're not getting that for a Mishnah. Mitzvahs don't have such a big currency here. But what does have a currency? You know what has a currency? Green paper has a currency. But as my grandmother, El Hasham, always used to say in her thick New England accent, she was from Portland, Maine, you can't eat green paper, right? So you can't eat green paper. But evidently, green paper is what's a currency. And so many people, Rahman al-Islam, they forget why we're here. They forget you're here to pick up diamonds. They forget you're here to pick up words of Torah and mitzvahs and chasadim and words of tefillah, and instead they spend their time amassing schmaltz. And this is, of course, one of the great, great challenges, the Chafetz Chaim said. One of the most famous stories with the Chafetz Chaim about this, you know, people say it was with different individuals. The most authentic version of the story actually happened with a resident of the Upper West Side of Manhattan, Mrs. Annie Golding, Mrs. Necha Golding, who Rabbi Aaron Cutler was maspid her as the tzadekes hador, as the righteous woman of her generation. For many years, she was an incredibly wealthy woman on the Upper West Side, supported Torah, all Gedolei Torah, stayed by her and her husband, the Upper West Side. Then her husband got tuberculosis and died, and people cheated her out of money, but she never wavered in her support of Torah. It was like unbelievable. And the family has hundreds and hundreds of letters that mamish, the biggest Gedolei Hador, corresponded with her and her husband. Mamish Rosh Hashivas of Slobodka stayed by her. So one time, one of the great Gedolim that never made his way to America was the Chafetz Chaim. So Mrs. Annie Golding, Mrs. Necha Golding, decided that if it's Chafetz Chaim's not coming to America, I'm going to go to Poland to see the Chafetz Chaim. And one of the most famous stories, she goes, this is when she was still very, very wealthy, she goes to Radin, she goes to Poland, and she goes to talk to the Chafetz Chaim. And she's a little bit aghast because she goes and she heard about the Chafetz Chaim, the Gadol Hador. When Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman came to America, he stayed by her. She heard about the Chafetz Chaim from his Talmud Rabbi Elchanan, and she heard, this is the Chafetz Chaim, the Gadol Hador, the greatest of the great in the generation. And she goes to his little house in Radin, and she's just aghast. She's appalled by the poverty. She's appalled by the lack of furniture. By the rickety table. This is the Chafetz Chaim. This is the Gadol Hador. You know, he should have a beautiful mahogany table. He should have beautiful, beautiful chairs with cushions. And what's going on? And she says to him, Rebbe, I don't understand. Where's all your furniture? And the Chafetz Chaim says, what do you mean? Where's all your furniture? She says, what do you mean? Where's my furniture? I'm just traveling through Poland. And the Chafetz Chaim says, exactly, so am I. And she's like, huh? And the Chafetz Chaim says, Holam azeh dom el frozdar. This world is a corridor. We're not staying here long. We're walking through. And the Chafetz Chaim, one of the messages that he tried to convey over and over and over, is that we have to remember what we're here for, right? Stay on target. You can't lose focus, right? You have to make sure that you're staying on that target. And that's the first thing the Yetzirah tries to do. And unfortunately, the Meraglim, great people, we can't understand the level that they were on. But the Yetzirah was able to first convince them, to make them forget what their role was, right? They were supposed to act as the Shluchim of the Klal Yisrael, but then they decided that they themselves were going to decide what it was, you know. And then unfortunately, we see from the end of the parsha that, you know, it's not an example, it's not coincidence, obviously, that one of the Sheish Mitzvos Tmidios, one of the six constant mitzvos, is in this week's parsha, and it uses a verb, it uses a term that you find again and again and again in the beginning of the parsha, which is not a common term, and that term is Sasuru, lo sasuru, acharei levavchem v'acharei neichem. We know in the beginning of the parsha, you hear it again and again and again. Lasur es haaretz, v'yasuru es eretz kenan. That the spies were going lasur, v'yasuru. What does that mean? Again, it doesn't mean to spy. Lasasur means, many mefarshim say, means to try and see good. So the meraglim, v'yasuru, they went to try and see good. But the problem was, they decided that they were going to see the good based upon their own opinions. They forgot who they were representing. They forgot that they were the shluchim of Klal Yisrael and ultimately the shluchei derachmana. And that's why at the end of the parsha, it uses the same words for the meraglim, but warning each and every one of us, lo sasuru acharei levavchem v'acharei yeinechem, that when you're going to try and decide what's good, don't do it based upon your own eyes and your own heart. Lo sasuru acharei levavchem v'acharei yeinechem. We have to know that there is an authority that is higher than us. We have to know that we don't come into this world to decide for ourselves. And of course, this was the first sin in all of history. The first sin of all of history was the Jewish people, was Adam and Chava, eating from the Eitz Hadas Tov Vara. The Nachash even says that the day you eat from this, then you'll be like God, Yodei Tov Vara, that you're going to know good and bad. So they said, we don't want to have to listen to Hashem, what's good and bad. We're going to decide for ourselves what's good and bad. So they ate from the Eitz Hadas Tov Vara. And we know that the first person that started bringing real tikkun, real fixing to the world, was Avram Avinu. And in what way does Avram Avinu bring tikkun to the world? How is he misaken the sin of Adam v'Chava? So Rav Kook explains so powerfully, what was the real nisayon of the Akedah? You know, take your son and kill him. I got to be honest, many of us in quarantine for so long with our kids, if Hashem told me to kill my kid, you know, I'll say, wait, which one, Hashem, you know? You know, obviously it was a bad joke, okay? I'm not going to kill all my kids because my wife is right here. She wouldn't let me. But, you know, but what really, what's the nisayon? What's the nisayon? So Rav Kook says, of course, a nisayon of killing a child, I get. But there's also another nisayon. A nisayon on a different type of level. Because Avram Avinu, you know what he did his whole life until that moment? He taught the world that Hashem was real and was not this pagan deity that wanted human sacrifice. Hashem doesn't have a bloodlust, doesn't want you to kill your kids in worshiping him. And then Hashem says, oh, by the way, Avram, Kachnas binchas yichidcha asher ahavta, es Yitzchok, and v'aleu sham la'ola, al'achad harim asher amar alecha. Avram Avinu, you know what? Go take Yitzchok, and everything you said not to do, go do. Go do. Everything you said not to do, I'm telling you to go do it. And Avram Avinu, talk about mind blown. Avram Avinu, like, what Hashem? What? You want me to take my son? And human sacrifice? But yet, does Avram question Hashem then? Does Avram challenge Hashem then? It's interesting why he challenges him by Sodom and not them. That's for another year. We've learned that together in the past. But Avram Avinu, he's Mekabel. That I thought all these years that Hashem says that this would be abhorrent to God. This would be a toeva to the Ibn Hashem. This isn't what Hashem wants. And now Hashem's telling me to do it. And Rav Kook said that was the greatest Nisayan. The Nisayan was everything Avram Avinu believed in his whole life. He managed to throw it away. That's the ultimate bittul hadas of tov vara. That was the ultimate act of Avram Avinu saying to the Eibishter, you know what, Hashem? I guess I'm wrong. If you're saying I have to do this, this is what I have to do. This is what's tov then. And so therefore, lo sasur achrei levavchem v'achrei neichem. The tzivui at the end of the parsha, which is one of the sheish mitzvahs tamidios, one of the six constant commandments, one of the six pillars that your relationship with God exists upon, right? So you know what that pillar is saying? Stay on target. Remember your mission. It's not for you to decide what's good and what's bad. You're shluchei derachmana. And so therefore, this is the first thing that the Yetzirah tries to do, and the Yetzirah unfortunately accomplished very well. But what we have to know is, as Rav Kook says about what we say in Only Yom Kippur Shmon Esrei Davening, Zelokai Ad Shelo Notzarti Eini Chadai. We say to Hashem at the end of Vidui on Yom Kippur and the end of Shmon Esrei, my God, Ad Shelo Notzarti Eini Chadai, until I was formed, I was not worthy of being formed. You know what Rav Kook says that means? Rav Kook says that Chaim Arkus didn't come into existence until Tof Shin Lamed Hey. You know why? Because the soul of Chaim Arkus has to do something in this tkufa. I didn't live 200 years ago. I didn't live 1,000 years ago. Because I have a tafkid, I have a purpose. Everyone here listening, we're learning together. Every one of you has a tafkid that only you can do, Rav Kook says. That's what it means. Elokai ad shelo natzarti eini chadai. God, until I was created, I wasn't worthy of it. It wasn't my time. And everyone here has a mission. Everyone has a purpose. And you can't lose sight of that. Again, we don't go through life looking, what is my purpose? But we know that by following Torah mitzvahs, we hope that we'll come to it. And this is the first thing that the Yetzirah tries to keep us away from. But then there's a second thing. You know what the second thing the Yetzirah tries to do? The Yetzirah tries to tell us that, yeah, you're shliach of Hashem, but you're not going to be able to do it. You know how hard it is? Do you know how difficult it is? Come on. Yeah, I know Avodas Hashem. But the Yetzihara tries to tell us that your shlichus is impossible. Right? And Mamish, think about this. This is the other thing that happened to the Meraglim. Once they decided that it's for them to spy out, it's for them to give their assessment and their estimation of what can happen, they then, when they forgot who they were the messengers for, who they were the agents for, then they fell prey to the second nisayon of not believing in the kochos, not believing in yourself. Because ultimately, that's one of the greatest things that the Yetzirah does. You know, Rav Yochanan Zweig Shlita, that I quote often from Miami, Florida, Rabbi Yochanan Zweig, the way he wants to find the Yetzer Hara in the shir I was listening to, is that he says the Yetzer Hara is a propensity to self-destruct. That's what the Yetzer Hara is. The Yetzer Hara is about getting you to self-destruct. And so therefore, you know what the Yetzer Hara wants to tell you? The Yetzer Hara is constantly telling you, do you think you really can do that? Are you crazy? Are you crazy? Come on, that's too hard for you. You know, the Yetzer Hara tells us, Bizman Hazeh, you know, to only look, you know, it's the summer months, we're at home, you know, binge-watching things, Shmir Sinai. We have to be careful to look at only things that are appropriate. The HR is telling you, crazy, this is 2020. Shmir Sinai, to only look at appropriate things? You know how we talk. We should have a certain refinement. Come on, this is how everyone talks. So the Yetzer Hara, it's the second thing the Yetzer Hara attacks. The Yetzer Hara wants to make us think that we can't do it, that we're weak. And that's such a misguided. So it's mamish, the Yetzer Hara getting us to self-destruct. Because if you remember that you're shluchei derachmana, if you remember that we're here in this world on a mission from the Ribbono Shel'olam, that the Ribbono Shel'olam sent your neshama into this world for an elevated purpose. So obviously, if your sholayach, the one that sends you, is the Ribbono Shel'olam, he's going to send you with whatever you need to do your tafkid. So it's not shayach. It's not possible that you come unequipped to this world to deal with what your challenge is, with what your nisayon is. Again, we don't know what the nisayon is. We don't know. We don't know what our tafkid is. But what we know is that as long as we're mevakesh emes, as long as we remember who sent us here, as long as we remember that we're shluchei derachmana, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes in us, as we were said in the Moda Ani Shir, Rabba Emunasecha, that we wake up in the Shirim Tefillah, that Rabba Emunasecha, Hashem, I woke up today because you have faith that I'm going to do something. Hashem, I woke up today because you have emuna in me, you have faith in me, that I can be great, I can accomplish something. And so that's why we understand how important it is to take this lesson from the Miraglim. And now we see also, to a little bit, why the Chet HaMiraglim was worse than the Chet of the Egel. Because the Chet of the Egel was misguided in their yearning for God. But the Chet HaMiraglim was unfortunately a break, a rupture in the relationship with God. Again, Chet HaEgel was trying to come close to Hashem in our terms, in our ways, like sort of making God in our image and not instead of us waiting for God. But the Chet HaMiraglim was people totally, totally forgetting who they were, forgetting that Hashem sent us. And that's why we'll end with unfortunately one of the saddest psukim in the entire Torah. One of the saddest psukim in the entire Torah, mamish, which the Baal Shem HaKadosh says is what we're still suffering from today, which is everything we're speaking about tonight, is Perek Aleph in Devarim, Pasuk Chav Zayin. Perek Aleph in Devarim, Pasuk Chav Zayin, is Moshe Rabbeinu retelling the story of the Miraglim. And he tells a detail that is not found in Parsha Shlach. And this, according to the Sfasemis and many other tzaddikim, is the essence of Galus. The essence of Galus. And what's the pasuk? That the Miraglim came back, they brought from the fruits of the lands, and they said, the land is good that Hashem wants to give us. V'lo avisem la'alos v'tamros pi Hashem elokechem. And you refused to want to go up. You rebelled against the word of God. Vateirognu ba'alechem vatomru. And you went to your tents and you complained and you said, Bisinas Adonai osanu, hotzianu me eretz mitzrayim lases osanu, biyad ha'emori lash midenu. That after hearing the reports of the Miraglim, after this breakdown, you went to your tents that night. The Miraglim came back, many say, on the Ches of Av, the 8th of Av. But it was that night, after hearing the reports, the Jews went into their tents and they said, God hates us. That's why he brought us out into the desert, to give us over to the Emori, to destroy us. And that's when Hashem said, no mas, I'm finished. That's when Hashem said, I can't. What am I supposed to do? Eser Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, Mon, Be'er Miriam, Kabbalah Satora, with everything that that entailed, Milchemes Amalek, saving you from Amalek. You built the Mishkan, my presence is resting on this Mishkan, I'm ready to take you in, and you're saying, I hate you? It was a total breakdown. And that was the unfortunate outgrowth of Klal Yisrael forgetting who they were. And that, of course, is the total fall down, the total loss of everything that Shavuos is. Shavuos is about knowing that B'nai Melachim Atem, how much Hashem loves us. Shavuos, as we said, as we learned together, was about the coronation of the Jewish people. Rosh Hashanah is the coronation of the king. But Shavuos was an Hashem coronated us. And here Klal Yisrael was. Do you realize what this is? You realize we're talking 14 months after Kabbalah Satorah. You're talking about less than a year after Hashem forgave them for the Chet HaEgel, and he and you're talking about a few months after the Hashem's presence come and rests on the Mishkan. And they're saying, Besinas Hashem Osano, Hashem hates us. However, the Baal Shem HaKadosh says that night was the night of, we know that was the night of Tisha B'Av, and they cried a Bechiyah Shel Chinam, a crying of meaninglessness, of absolute stupidity. You think Hashem hates you? And the Baal Shem HaKadosh says, so because understanding that, mamish, that was the root of all destruction, that's the root of all galus, of Klal Yisrael saying, Besinas Hashem Osanu. So that's why the Baal Shem HaKadosh says, the tefillah of Ava Rabba will bring the Geula. The tefillah of Ava Rabba, not Shema Esrei, the Baal Shem Tov Zechus Yagen Aleinu says that the tefillah of Ava Rabba, when Klal Yisrael can feel Ava Hashem Osanu, when we can feel, despite the Yisurim, the sufferings that everyone is going through, physically, emotionally, financially, spiritually, in all this Yisurin, in all the different suffering that we all have, everyone knows their own suffering. Everyone's suffering in one way or another. And especially with everything. So if you can feel Ahavas Hashem Osan, you can say Ava Rabba, there's an intense love. And even if you can't feel that intense love, but as Ma'ariv Emunas Chabalelos, at night, it's about Emunah, because in periods of darkness, we don't feel that Ava Rabba, we don't feel Baboker Chastecha, we don't feel your kindness in the morning when things are light, when things are going well. But Emunas Chabalelos, we say Avas Olam, that we know it's an eternal love. We know that there's an eternal love. So this is what Reb Tzvi Meyer says we have to take from Parsha Shlach. And this is what he says, that there's a great, great lekach. Tzadikim, he said, talk at length about Parsha Shlach. It's a Parsha we can learn together ad infinitum. It's a Parsha mamish goes on and on and on. But he says, because there's so much to take from it. Because this kernel of Parsha Shlach is the sin of Adam and Chava. It's the sin of every generation of the Bechiah Shel Chinam. And as the Baal Shem HaKadosh says, it's when we can feel Hashem's love for us despite Yisurin. That's when Mashiach comes. Bechlal u'befrat. Whether we're talking about national redemption, global redemption, or we're talking about the redemption of the individual. Whether we're talking about the Geula Pratis, each and every one of us, our own personal redemption can come when we work and can try to feel Avas Hashem L'Sanim. And that's my bracha to everyone. On this Shabbos of a Parsha Shlach, the Parsha of the Meraglim, remember that we're all Shluchei D'Rachmana. We should always remember that we're all agents of the Ribono Shel Olam. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Shaleach, and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us into this world, we can do it. We can. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the stuff that we can accomplish amazing things. And remember that you have a tafkid that mamash no one else has. And that's why you're so cherished, and that's why you're so unique. And that's what I hope this Shabbos we can all take. Have a great, great Shabbos, everyone. Be'ez Hashem, work on it well.